Our text this evening, part of the favourite text that we've been given in, is 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. And it's the last part of the verse where the Lord says unto Eli and unto all his children, "Them that honour me, I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Let's bow in prayer. Father, we pray for help in the preaching and in the hearing of thy word. Write thy truth upon our hearts. May we seek to live out the gospel of God each and every day. And may we be willing to take our stand for the cause of our Savior, knowing that he so willingly, so publicly, did lay down his life for us. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to confess, I'm glad that this verse was recommended as one of your favourites. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. "Them that honour me, I will honour." These are tremendous words of challenge. And I don't suppose that I've ever read them without thinking of Eric Little, or Liddell if you prefer, the Scottish missionary who served the Lord in that great land of China. And with the declaration of war between Japan and Britain during World War II, many of the missionaries left the country for their own safety. However, there were certain missionaries that stayed on in China, and Eric Liddell being one of them. And eventually, all the foreign missionaries in China were gathered up and placed into an internment camp, a Japanese internment camp. And Eric Liddell would later die from a brain tumour in 1945 as a prisoner of war in a Japanese prison camp. But his name, I suppose, became familiar to many through the movie Chariots of Fire that was released some years ago, which highlighted his refusal to compete in the 100 metres race in the 1924 Olympics that were being held in Paris. And the reason that he refused to run in that race is because the event was being held upon a Sunday, the Lord's Day. And though it was thought that that would be his best chance for gold, Eric Liddell, in spite of much criticism and even royal pressure being applied to him, refused to run in that event because it went against conscience and against the word of God. And instead he ran in the 400 metres race, which many people, perhaps himself included, thought that he had very little chance of winning. However, he won the race, and he received his gold medal, and he broke the record in the process. Now, I've said just before he went to run that 400 metre race that one of the men who was an assistant to his trainer slipped him a piece of paper, a little note. And as he opened that piece of paper and read its message, he read these words: "In the old book it says, 'He that honours me, I will honour.' Wishing you the best of success always." And I believe that God honoured Eric Liddell for the stand that he took and provided him with help and assistance to win a race that no one expected him to win. And God was honoured because a man sought to honour him. And I trust that we will be such people that will seek to honour God, and that in turn we might know his honour be upon us. It was through a prophet that God reminded Eli the priest of just what God expected from his people, and declared to Eli, "Them that honour me, I will honour." I want to think about that word from God, not just as it was given to Eli, but how it applies to you and I today. And when I think of these words, "Them that honour me, I will honour," I think firstly of what it is that God desires? What is it that God desires? These words remind us that God desires that we honor Him. That we look to honor God. He longs to be honored. He loves to be honored. It is His desire that those who know Him and name Him as their God honor Him before all people. Now that seems simple enough. Honor God. Every Sunday school child has been taught from the catechism that which is the chief end of man. And it is man's chief end to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The one thing that God desires from His creatures is honor. There's no middle ground between honoring God and despising Him. There's nothing in between. If God is not honored, then something else has been honored above Him. And God is despised. You understand that, don't you? That if we set our hearts, our affections, if we seek to honor and glorify something or someone else above God, that we have taken God from His throne and put another upon it, we have despised God. So we either honor God or we despise Him. Now when we talk about honoring God, what do we mean? Well, I think the best way for us to get an understanding of what it means to honor the Lord is to take that word and show how it has been used in the Bible to define the honor that God desires. So I want you to perhaps turn to a few references as we go along this afternoon. For instance, in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 17, it tells us something about the place that God desires in our life. Numbers chapter 22 and verse 17. And there we read, "For I will promote thee unto very great honor." Now it might surprise you that the word that we're looking for is not the word honor in the middle of the verse, but the word promote. How it reads in the Hebrew is this: "I will honor thee unto very great honor." And our Bible translators have taken that first honor to mean promote. So when we apply that word promote into 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, God says, "Them that honor me, I will honor. Them that promote me, I will promote." The idea is of putting God first and foremost, promoted in our life. Here in Numbers chapter 22, in trying to strike a deal with Balaam, Balak promises to promote him to a place of honor. Now, when we honor God, we promote Him to that lofty place in our life. We put Him as number one over all things. In Judges chapter 1 and verse 35, we find another use of this word, honor. Judges 1 and verse 35. "But the Amorites will dwell in Mount Perez, in Abijalon, and in Shelbim, yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries." And the word that's translated prevailed is the same word that's translated honor in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. To prevail. It carries the idea of conquering, of overcoming, of ruling over. To honor God is not only to promote Him to a lofty place in our life, but to put Him in a lordly place where He rules over us. Where we seek to honor God, it means that we put Him in charge of our life. It's to recognize that since He is our Redeemer,
He is also our ruler. That He's not only Savior of our souls, but sovereign over our life. And when we see how this word is used in the Scriptures to promote to a lofty place, to prevail over us as our conqueror, understanding this, can I challenge you to ask yourself the question, is the Lord getting the honor that He deserves from you? Is He Lord of your life? Is He in that prominent, indeed that preeminent place in your life, that rightful place that sees Him as ruler and Lord of your life? To honor the Lord is to give Him nothing less than all that He desires. To give Him that honor and respect and reverence and obedience as our Lord and as our Master. And since God desires to be Lord and Master of our life, let's take a test. Ask ourselves some questions. Is the Lord the Master of our life? When we think of our time and our weekly, our daily schedules, do we put the Lord first? Someone has described this age as the age of hurry, worry, and bury. We have dozens of irons in the fire, but when the Lord is honored, then He will have priority over our time. The Lord's day will be His. We mentioned Ernest Liddell, who refused to run that 100 meter race because it was held on the Lord's day. He held to his convictions. And there were appeals made to him from the government, from the royal family. Great pressure applied to him to yield in the matter. And yet in spite of the criticism that he received from the press, for Eric Liddell, the Lord's Day was exactly that. The Lord's Day. I came across a little quote I suppose about a month or so ago, that asked the question, just exactly when did the Lord's Day become the Lord's hour? Because that's how much some Christians are willing to give to the Lord. An hour, just for the service, and then it's off to the beach, off to the mountain, off to the boat, off to the park, off to the games. When did the Lord's day become the Lord's hour? Do we take this day as sacred, set aside for the worship of God from its beginning to its end? A day of rest and separation from worldly entanglements so that it can be spent in seeking God? Do we give Him our time? Do we give the Lord time each day to be with Him, to talk with Him, to let Him talk to you through His Word? Is getting alone with the Lord an essential and a necessary part of your daily schedule? Are there days that go by, perhaps weeks that go by, that no time is spent with the Lord? When we seek to honor the Lord, He will have priority in our schedule, in our time. What about our talents? As you're gifted by God with certain gifts and abilities and talents and skills, are you seeking to use those talents and abilities for the Lord? Have you given them into God's hand and allow Him to use them for His honor? For His glory. As your minister, I'm delighted to see so many here that are willing to give their time and their talents to the Lord. And yet I've seen so many that have been gifted by God, and yet their talents and abilities are unused for the glory of God because they've never been yielded to God. I've seen some that have had the ability to sing, or to play an instrument, or to work with children, or to teach Sunday school, or to serve in some capacity of the work of God, yet fail to use those talents and abilities for God's glory. When we honour the Lord, we will not only have time for Him, but we will seek to serve Him. And we'll seek to serve the Lord wherever we are. It's said of Martin Luther that he spoke of the maid who sweeps her kitchen in doing the will of God just as much as the monk who prays. Not because she may sing a Christian hymn as she sweeps, but because God loves clean floors. The Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes that he makes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship. Are you using your talents, your abilities, to glorify God, to bring glory to His name? Never let it be said that our work is substandard, or lacking in grace, and that's because we are Christians. May the fact that we belong to Christ mean that those things that we do wholeheartedly. We do to the best of our ability. That we're not holding back and giving to those who employ us our very best, but we do it unto the glory of God. Use the talents that God has given you for His glory, and them that honour me I will honour, God says. Honour Him with your time. Honour Him with your talents. Honour Him with your treasures. In Proverbs 3 and verse 9 it says, honour the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. That substance speaks of our wealth, of our treasures. Is there any greater test of our devotion than when it comes to our money? Our giving reveals so much about us, where the Lord stands in our think. It really shows whether the Lord truly is Lord of our life or not. Because if I am honouring the Lord, that means He is honoured in every area and aspect of our life, and that includes our monies. Now, we spoke upon tithing a few weeks back, so I don't really want to be going again to refer you back to that message, but it is our responsibility as Christians to finance the work of God. Is God honoured with our tithing, with our giving to His work? I'll tell you of a sign that was found in a jewellery shop window, and it read as follows: a box of candy means friendship. A bunch of flowers means love. But a diamond means business. Maybe apply that to our giving unto the Lord. Do we mean business? Do we mean business with God? If we have problems giving our tithes and offerings, it's a sure sign that God is not in charge. He's not ruler of our life. He's not being honoured. To honour God means that we put Him first in all things. To honour Him with our time, with our talents, with our treasures, with our obedience. We should be obedient to His word, to all of His word, to all of His teaching. Obedient and following in His ordinances, in worship, in praise. We ought to be seeking God's will for our lives. God desires to be honoured. Them that honour me, He desires to be honoured. He wants to be praised. On a number of occasions in the Bible, the word that's translated honour for us in 1 Samuel 2 and 30 is translated glorified, or glory, or glorious. For instance, in Psalm 86 and verse 12, I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. It's the same word. I will honour Thy name forevermore. Seems true in Psalm 50. And verse 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, honors me. When we honor the Lord, he receives praise and glory from our lives. He is glorified by who and what we are. A purpose and a passion of our life ought to be that the Lord is magnified and glorified through us. That means that we point to the Lord ever in our life as being the one who is of supreme importance to us. To honor him is for God to receive the praise and the glory that he is due. This is what God desires and what he deserves. Honoring God is not just something he desires, it's something he deserves. And when we talk about God being promoted to that lofty place in our life, being made Lord over all things, he deserves nothing less. Now you ask why he deserves to be honored. Well, let me give you some reasons. Firstly, he created us. Psalm 95 verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Let me be very simple, very clear. When I say we come from God, he created us. Now, I'm very aware that that's not what everyone believes in the world today. For some, their reasoning would be something like this. Put a frog and a prince together, or a frog and a princess together, and you get a handsome prince. That's called a fairy tale. You put a frog and 10 billion years together to get a handsome prince. Well, they call that science. But God is our maker. God created us. And we have a responsibility back to him. We should worship him. We are to give him the honor that he deserves. He has created us. And if you are his child, he has converted us. He has saved us. Psalm 78 verse 35. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. He is our creator and he is our redeemer. What more reason do we need to honor God? Once we were hell bound, but now we are heaven bound. Once our souls were empty, and without any real or lasting satisfaction, but now there is a well of eternal life springing up in our souls. Once we had no hope, now we have a sure and certain hope. Once we had no peace, now we have a peace that passes all understanding. Once we were children of Satan, but now are we the children of God. Once we walked in darkness, but now we walk in the light. Once we were slaves to sin. Now are we the sons of God. Go back and think about what you used to be. About how you used to live. To think and remember what it was to be lost and without God. And now think of what it means to be saved. To be transformed by God's grace. To be brought out of death unto life, out of darkness into light. Is there not a great reason, child of God, for you to honor your Savior? He has done exceeding abundantly for us above all that we could ask or think. He has chosen us. He has loved us. He has redeemed us. He has called us. He has kept us. He will bring us into heaven itself. Our God has made himself known to us in a way that he has not revealed himself to us. All the world may behold the glory and wisdom of God and his power in creation, but you and I have been made to see the glory of his grace in the face of Jesus Christ. Is he not worthy of honor? He desires it, and he deserves. So we see what God desires, and we hear what he deserves. Notice finally what he declares. I want you to look again at our text, and notice carefully what God says. For them that honor me, I will honor. Notice that. God said that if we will honor him, glorify, promote, praise him, he will honor us. This is God's precious promise to his servants. This is a promise to us as his servants. It's a promise to every household. It's a promise to every church. It's a promise to every believer. Honor me and I will honor you. There's something that stands true in this present life of ours. God will honor those that honor him. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 19 and verse 29, and every one of you that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Mark picks up the same theme. He shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. In Luke's Gospel 23 and verse 35, he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. We lack nothing. In writing about this verse, 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, them that honor me, I will honor, Charles Spurgeon said, God always pays good interest on his loans. You never impoverish yourself by serving God or honoring him in this world. My grandmother used to say that God is no man's debtor. That what we give to God, he will repay many times over. In John 12 and 26 we read, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. God has promised to honor those who honor him. If we honor God, he in return will bless us. That's a deal you can't beat. You will have no better offer than that. Those that honor God, he will honor. Now you think about it for a moment. The honor that we are able to give to God is limited by our earthly and physical and human ability. There's a limit to how much we can actually give unto God. But when God says, I will honor him, that comes from a resource that is eternal and everlasting and infinite. This is something you can't beat. This is far better than any interest rate offered by any bank. Try and take God up on his offer. It has a 100% guarantee. Them that honor me, I will honor. I tell you, if you're honored by God, you are blessed indeed. That means when you take your stand for God and honor him, God will see to it that you are honored in return. God will give you respect amongst men. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 20, we read that Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. God will give you influence in this world for good. He'll give you peace for your conscience. He will honor you. Make use of you. Put you as a tool to be used in the glorifying of His name. None of us ever truly knows how much God is honoring us at any time. There is a fame that's far greater than that which is spoken of by the breath or words of men, to be honored in heaven, amongst the angels, amongst the saints in glory. God will give you honor not only in this life, but honor in the world to come. Because there's coming a day when we shall stand before our great King. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There's coming a day when the servants of Christ will receive their reward and hear the words of our Savior, Well done, good and faithful servant. There will be a time of honoring. And as the Apostle Paul reminds us, that the glories of that day are not to be compared to the persecutions that we face upon earth. Oh, if we are ridiculed before men, what is that compared to the glorifying by God in heaven? Oh, men mock us for our faith in Christ, or jeer or make fun because we take our stand for the Lord and His ways. Those things are not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits to hear the well done of Christ our Savior. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God desires to be honored. He deserves to be honored, and He declares that them that honor Him, I will honor. But let's not finish before noting the last phrase of that verse. That they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Failure to honor God comes with severe consequences. There's a warning here that I hope you will recognize and take to heart. They that despise me. You see what I said at the beginning? It's one or the other. It's honor God or despise Him. Them that honor Him, He will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. They will be lightly esteemed in life, lightly esteemed in death, lightly esteemed in eternity. To be lightly esteemed by God is to be disdained by Him. There is no middle ground to be sought here. We are either honoring God or we are despising Him. We will either be honored by Him or lightly esteemed by Him. Which will it be? The choice, I suppose, is set before you. Which will you choose? A life that seeks to honor God? Or a life that's lived for the pleasures of this world, for the applause of this world, that in turn has despised God and will be lightly esteemed by Him? I tremble at what those words actually mean, to be lightly esteemed by God, to be held of no account by God. Oh, may we honor Him, and may we know His honor upon us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee again for time spent in presence one another around Thy Word. We thank Thee for help given of Thy Holy Spirit to set forth Thy precious truth this afternoon. May we take to heart the message of the Gospel, that we might seek to glorify and honour the Lord, to esteem Him high and lifted up, to glorify Him, to recognise Him not only as our Creator but as our Redeemer, and in humble adoration bow before Him, and as living sacrifices present our bodies unto Him. And we ask our Father that Thou would be pleased to use us for Thy glory. We know not what that might entail, where, Lord, we might labour for Thee or serve Thee, in what capacity that might be is beyond our knowledge or understanding. But we pray that wherever we might be, or whatever it is that we might do, that first and foremost that our thoughts might be of God and of His glory. And as we carry out those duties given to us by the Lord, that in honouring Thee, that Thou wilt indeed remember and honour us, that in all things Thy great name would be praised and our Saviour glorified. Hear our prayer, we pray, that we might be honoured of God and not lightly esteemed or held of little account by Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.